Founded by a leading family in the diamond industry for more than a century, we're experts in lab-grown diamonds because that's all we do. Clean Origin, the only diamond jewelers who give you a 100-day, no-questions-asked return on your purchase. Head to cleanorigin.com or one of our retail stores and mention code RADIO10 for 10% off your purchase. That's cleanorigin.com, code RADIO10.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Go ahead, feel your engine. Admire that perfectly installed exhaust. Your vehicle's moving along this freeway like it was made from fresh installs and a whole lot of love. With eBay Motors, you get over 122 million parts to keep it running. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, they'll be the perfect fit every time. Plus, at these prices, well, we're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM, Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Ahead of testimony today in the hush money trial of Donald Trump, a judge held a hearing on whether Trump violated a gag order by attacking witnesses, including Michael Cohen, verbally. ABC's Aaron Katursky has more.
The defendant violated this order repeatedly and hasn't stopped, prosecutors said. And they added that he did it again on camera during remarks in the courthouse hallway when he called Cohen a liar. The defense said there was no willful violation of the judge's order, but prosecutors suggested Trump is almost goading the judge into throwing him in jail over this. So far, prosecutors are asking for a fine.
The judge will rule later. It's primary day in Pennsylvania. Presidential candidates Joe Biden and Donald Trump are expected to win their party's nominations. The Justice Department has reached a $139 million settlement in the civil suit involving more than 100 victims in the Larry Nassar sex abuse investigation, including former Olympic gymnasts. This is ABC News. More aftershocks in Taiwan, portions of the island hit by more than 50 aftershocks. They follow a massive 7.4 magnitude earthquake on April 3rd. Gas prices ticking up again, but some relief could be coming.
For weeks, prices have been going up. The Energy Department saying the average price nationwide for regular unleaded is now at $3.67 a gallon, up 4 cents in the past week. But in places like California, the average price for regular unleaded is now $5.24 a gallon. Analysts say some relief should be coming nationwide. Prices typically dip a bit between summer break and summer demand periods. Plus, refineries are ending a bunch of maintenance, and oil prices are down since the fighting started between Israel and Iran. Alex Stone, ABC News.
If you're looking to take a flight this summer, experts predict that travel will peak in June, with airfares about the same as last year. Experts suggest leaving on Monday to save on international flights and Tuesday for domestic. Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today? Ah, thinking about gas mileage. A bottle of Chevron Techron Complete Fuel System Cleaner can help your engine get more MPGs. Right now, when you buy one bottle, you can get one bottle free. A great deal to help you go a great deal farther. Find Chevron Techron and everything you need for better fuel efficiency at any one of our 6,300 stores.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Restrictions apply.
All right, so there we were, cruising through the new open-air zoo, when I realized that the park was closing in like 15 minutes. Luckily, we were in my Nissan Rogue. With its powerful V6 turbo engine, well, we had time to see all the animals. Whoa! And outrun a few!
Drive the Nissan Rogue.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Ted Aylin. Maxwell Anderson made his first appearance in Milwaukee County Court Monday. Anderson is charged in the death and dismemberment of 19-year-old Sade Robinson. April Bentley was one of several people who attended the court hearing on behalf of Robinson's family. She spoke with Fox 6 Milwaukee.
This gentleman, I believe, moved very calculated through the city and was intentional about where he placed the body parts, the car, setting it on fire.
Anderson was arrested 2 days after someone found Robinson's leg at a park in Cudahy. Several other dismembered body parts of the woman were found around the Milwaukee area several days after. In the face of claims from former President Donald Trump, Governor Tony Evers isn't ruling out stepped-up security for Wisconsin Elections Administrator Megan Wolf.
It's just irrational. At some point in time, maybe there's something we can do, but as you can see, he's protected by that First Amendment that we all love. So it's tough.
Evers, speaking at an Earth Day event in Wanakee, had already added security for Wolf before Trump recently accused her of trying to steal the upcoming election.
Sooner or later, that kind of effort on his part, it will fail.
The mother of the missing 3-year-old Elijah Vu is requesting a change in her bond. An attorney for Katrina Bauer filed a motion Monday asking that her $15,000 cash bail be reduced to a personal recognizance bond that would allow Bauer to be released without paying the bond if she promised to appear back in court. The motion states Bauer is unable to post the cash bail. She and her boyfriend, Jesse Vang, have both pleaded not guilty on charges of chronic child neglect. Bauer has been in the Manitowoc County Jail since February 21st. That's a day after her son was reported missing. Search teams have been searching the area for Elijah ever since, but he hasn't been found yet. You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
While the rest of the world paused during the COVID pandemic, Worthington, Minnesota has been busy. Worthington has rebuilt 4 parks, built an indoor turf rec center, a splash pad, a community pavilion, pickleball courts, lighted biking and walking trails, and added lake rentals. But we're just getting started. A lakeside eatery and a new outdoor aquatic center is coming. And here's the thing. Worthington, Minnesota is a great place to eat, play, live, and stay. This is your invitation. Worthington, it's worth a look.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Partly sunny skies turn cloudy as showers and thunderstorms strike. Highs today hit the low 60s, and overnight tonight we crash below freezing, so expect a frost. This means we have a sunny and cooler day tomorrow. One call to Tax Solutions now will solve all of your IRS problems. 1-800-281-8193. Currently, it's 57.
Cattle worked higher on supply concerns. Lean hog futures stayed on the rally train for a third consecutive session.
Live from a rich tapestry of spring blooms via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This afternoon we chat with Naomi Bloom from Total Farm Marketing by Stuart Peterson. Directly following the news, Matt Bennett from AgMarket.net. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson. Now, say hello to the host of AgriTalk, Chip Flory.
All right, Davis. Hey, appreciate it, buddy. Thank you so much. You know what else? There's some pollen being shed out there in the timbers of Iowa. Okay. I can guarantee that. And if I sound a little rough,
yeah,
that might be the reason why.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just thought you were out brawling and got punched in the nose or something.
Well, no.
No?
No,
okay.
No.
Not this
no.
time.
Huh? Well, and not for like 40 years.
It's been a while, has it?
It's been a while since
you gotta
something
keep your dukes
like
up, buddy.
Oh, no. I tend to walk away from that.
As
tend to
I.
walk away.
Cooler heads and whatnot. So it's the sinus and it's the pollen. The pollen
so it's
has
the pollen.
Assaulted you.
I'm okay. That's what I'm going with. That's okay. What I'm going to go with.
Yep. Fair enough.
All right. Welcome to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. That is Davis. Glad that you are with us on this Tuesday afternoon. We're going to have a great conversation with Naomi Bloom from TFM by Stuart Peterson coming up here in just a little bit. Matt Bennett coming up as well. 65 degrees. The wind showed up. And I guess no surprise.
Yeah.
But the wind did show up, and it's blowing out there. We're going to have a good looking Wednesday and Thursday before we get into some more storms on Friday around here.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Going to slow
so,
planting progress, perhaps, or maybe not necessarily.
I think it is a concern, and it's becoming a concern that the rain and the if the forecast does materialize, that it could put a bit of a delay into some of the corn and soybean plantings out there. So, but as of right now, we're ahead of schedule and off we're running.
We're in fine shape. Absolutely.
Yeah, that's right.
You bet.
That's right. All right, let's get to the news.
Chip, the rally in wheat continued with another open near the low of the day and a close near the high of the day. July hard red winter wheat futures closed at the highest level since February 2nd. The next level of resistance in July HRW was at the January 25 high of 636 and a quarter. July SRW futures had some catching up to do after yesterday's rally and led the way to the upside today. July SRW closed above $6 for the first time since February 12. USDA crop condition ratings as of April 21 put 50% of the winter wheat crop in good to excellent condition. That's down 5 points, Chip, from the previous week. Mm-hmm. All of the deterioration was reported in hard red winter wheat crop areas. USDA also says 15% of the spring wheat crop was planted as of April 21st. That's 5 points ahead of the five-year average pace. July HRW wheat futures were 11¾ cents higher at 614¼. July SRW wheat up 15¼ to 602¾. July spring wheat closed at 672¼. That's up 9½ on the day.
Lack of rain in HRW country is becoming very apparent in some of those fields, and the market is paying attention to it. There's no question about it.
Corn planting as of April 21st stood at 12% complete, 2 points ahead of the five-year average. The weather forecast calls for some delays in corn planting into the first week of May, which provided some support for corn prices today. But much of the price strength was based on short covering and spillover support from the solid gains in wheat. July corn futures opened slightly lower but climbed back on top of the pivotal 450 level, and the contract posted the highest close since March 28. Traders also continue to assess late-season damage to the Argentine corn crop and are watching for signs of increased demand for U.S. corn in the export market. May corn futures were 3¼ cents higher today at 443. July corn up 2¾ cents, 452½. December corn futures closed at 474¾. That's up 2¼ cents.
Yeah, we can lose some of those Argentine corn bushels down there, but unless it turns into more demand for U.S. corn in the export market, the impact is going to be relatively light.
July soybean futures posted a third consecutive higher close, but the contract remains inside the borders of last week's trading range. USDA says 12% of the U.S. bean crop was planted as of April 21st, 2 points ahead of the five-year average pace. The forecast calling for more rain in the Midwest and a wetter-than-normal pattern into the first week of May is raising some concern about potential bean planting delays. May beans were 6½ cents higher today at 11.67½. July beans up 5½, 11.82. November beans closed at 11.74. Chip, that's up 2¼ cents on the day.
Yeah, they're starting to pay attention. As I mentioned in corn, they're starting to pay attention to what's going on with the planting pace and the weather forecast, but it's not a huge concern at this point.
Well, July cotton today was 70 points lower at 81.72. Over on your livestock's June fat cattle were 90 cents lower at 177.15. October futures were down 57½ cents to 179.37½. May feeder futures 87½ cents higher on the day at 246.05.
Wow.
And on the snout side, June lean hog futures opened on session lows, rallied through resistance at the April 11 high of 106.67½, and closed above 107.50 for the first time since April 9. Resistance is at the April 9 close of 108.57½. Today, May hogs were $1.87½ higher at 98.57½. June hogs, $2.45 higher, 107.95, Chip.
Yeah, 245 higher in those June hogs. It's an impressive move that we've got off of last week's low already, and it's just 3 days old. So hopefully we can get some more going there. Thanks, buddy. Let's bring in Matt Bennett, agmarket.net. How you doing, Matt?
I'm doing good, bud. How are you?
And doing real fine. Give me an update on planting progress. What are you getting done?
You know, last week we were able to get some corn and beans planted. That big system came through Illinois on Friday. And in all honesty, we were fairly lucky. I think we ended up with, maybe a half an inch. You know, but it came quickly. But regardless, it was pretty dry. Not as dry as some other folks. But then this week, you know, we were able to get started again yesterday, planting a little bit here today. We've got a little shower moving in right now. So just kind of depend on what we see, because this weekend some of these forecasts look kind of scary to me, but yeah, we're I don't know, we're between a third and a half done right now with everything.
Okay, well, you're making good progress
sure.
There, so how do you like the price rallies or gains that we've seen in the grains? Do you trust them?
I don't know how much I trust them. I think in the short run, I could still see some more up here. You know, the thing to me, Chip, is that you came into this time of year with just this massive fund short, you know, and typically going in the growing season, they like to be a little more nimble than that, able to react, you know, to some sort of a weather event. And boy, I don't know. I've got to think that you could see a little bit more upside here. I don't think that it's going to be anything long-winded, but it could be a really good opportunity for producers that have been sitting around frustrated for the last couple, 3 months. So my personal opinion is, you know, you get these corn up in this 490 area, then a person needs to be paying pretty close attention.
Well, yeah, especially on 23 crop, finish up your old crop stuff, but get caught up or get to where you're comfortable on 24 crop. And I saw chatter today about thinking about 25 crop sales. So a lot going on out there right now, isn't there?
Absolutely. I have no issue with that. And last thing I'll say, out in your neck of the woods and out west where basis is really good, tack a rally on good basis, reward it. You know what? Absolutely. Way better than what it was a couple months ago.
That's right. That's right. Thanks, Matt. Appreciate you, man.
Yep, absolutely. Have a good one,
man. All right, be safe. That's Matt Bennett, agmarket.net. Naomi Bloom, TFM by Stuart Peterson, next.
Need help navigating these markets or consulting for your operation? Let agmarket.net help. Receive personalized support and market guidance from seasoned commodity brokers, transparent account access, education and strategy resources, live calls and seminar discounts, plus access to research. Interested in consulting? AgMarket.net is able to help establish a customized marketing plan specific to your operation. Head to AgMarket.net or call 844-4-AG-MRKT. There's risk of loss in trading futures under options.
At FBN Finance, we know there's one thing that unites all farmers. Progress. It drives them to wake up early and be better than the day before. And whether it's a new land purchase or refinancing your ranch, FBN Finance has the agricultural expertise to help you reach your goals. Simply put, FBN Finance puts farmers first. With great rates, instant approvals, and pre-qualifications on farmland loans, FBN Finance has everything you need to be your partner in the fields and with your finances. And now, you can get $500 off closing costs for loans over $250,000. Start your farmland loan today at fbn.com/agritalk or call 833-FBN-LEND. That's 833-FBN-LEND. FBN Finance, more than a lender. Financing offered by FBN Finance, LLC and its lending partners. Available where FBN Finance, LLC is licensed. Terms and conditions apply. NMLS ID 1631119.
Hi, I'm Paul Niefer, a CPA and author of the Farm CPA blog and column for Top Producer. Join me every week on the Top Producer podcast for conversations about the top trends in farm management, tax issues, succession planning, policy implications, and more. Each week, I visit with business-minded farmers and ag experts for lively and in-depth conversations. Subscribe to the Top Producer podcast, available on your preferred podcast platform, and listen to a new episode every Tuesday.
Wisconsin soybean growers have a lot of choices when it comes to selecting seed varieties. If you're a seed dealer, help make their choice a little easier by shining the spotlight on your products through the Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. By entering customers at the contest by the August 31st deadline, seed dealers will receive $100 for one grower, $200 for three, and $300 for five or more. Growers must complete an entry and harvest form to qualify. For more information, visit wissoybean.org.
Ready for our little forest adventure?
Yes!
Go outside, I wanna be.
So much waiting for me.
Yeah, I wanna go outside, I wanna be.
We're here!
Whoa, that was fast!
There's a forest closer than you think. Find a park or forest near you and music inspired by nature at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by USDA Forest Service and the Ad Council.
We've cleared the schedule for you. Give us a call at 855-482-5524 and join the conversation.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm your host, Chip Flory. Glad that you're with us on a Tuesday afternoon. Beautiful Tuesday afternoon. Got the breeze blowing out there. That maybe we should call it a wind blowing out there, but for the most part, it's a pretty enjoyable day, 65 degrees. Maybe some guys are getting back out in the field. Let's have a conversation about the markets and what to expect and what to do about it with Naomi Bloom from Total Farm Marketing by Stuart Peterson. Naomi, it's good to talk with you again. How are you?
Oh, Chip, I'm good, and it is good to be talking with you today. Thanks so much for having me.
All right. You know, I didn't have you on during the end of basketball season just simply because I thought maybe too much cyclone power would be too much for people to handle.
We would probably have an abundance of excitement indeed. And yeah, it's always good, those cyclones. Always, yep. Always good.
Yep. And here we go. You know, we've got a little ways to go before we get to football season, but I think the anticipation and the excitement is already starting to grow.
Absolutely. Spring camps, all of that. I'm ready to roll.
Yep. No doubt. Well, I'm glad you're here. Let's talk a little bit about this corn market. We've got 3 days up now. 3 days with a low range open, a high range close. It feels like there's been a breakout to the upside in the market, but in reality, overhead resistance isn't all that far away, is it?
Exactly right. And so looking at July corn futures today, it was a bonus that we were able to have 2 days of closing above the 40 and 50 day moving average. It was a bonus that we closed above 450 today. But I get a little bit cautious right now just because of what's coming up on the calendar this week. We have May options expiring on Friday, and we're heading into first notice day for May futures next week. And a lot of times in years where there is bigger carryout, you have a tendency to see market prices, futures prices for the May contract, for the July contract, slide a little bit lower into option expiration and into first notice day. So while I'm liking this market and these charts, we're not totally over the hurdle to make me feel like this is a spring price low. I'm still a little bit cautious. But it does get me excited for what's to come. You know, as Matt was saying earlier, you got to be aware of how short the funds are in this market.
Right.
If we can find some news, you know, we'll get that seasonal rally that can occur. But I'm not totally convinced that this is necessarily it.
Is it a timing issue, or is it the makeup of the market that's got you most uncertain?
Well, it's a little bit timing with these option expirations. It's seasonal because when you look at a July seasonal chart or December seasonal chart for corn futures, they still usually are showing choppy sideways trading ranges until about the second week of May. And then you'll start to see the market work higher into the summer rally. So between that and seasonals and just, you know, the fundamentals are still a little bit negative leaning with 2 billion bushel carry out. And it's a little early to talk planting delay, even though we're going to be seeing rain over the Midwest, just because, you know, the market knows and the world knows the American farmer can get a third of the crop planted in a week if you have an open stretch. So I don't think the market gets too hyped up about planting delay unless it's past Mother's Day and we're not 50% planted, then I think the market's concerned. But again, so it's, yeah, seasonals, it's technicals, it's a lack of fresh bullish news to just get this market to spur higher. So again, I'm a little cautious right now.
You know, it feels like we are right on the edge of getting some bullish headlines from the export market. And what I'm doing is I'm looking at the situation down in Argentina, the situation in Argentina with the way that crop is finishing poorly and some demand that has shown up for U.S. corn, right?
Yes. We had wonderful export inspections this week. So we are moving product out of the country. When you look at export sales, export inspections, we are ahead of USDA projections. And you're right, you know, that Argentina crop starting to not be perfect. We're not hearing too much out of the Brazil crop, so that makes me think that things are okay. But what'll really get me excited is if we see maybe strong weekly export sales Thursday morning this week, that would be good. And then looking at the May USDA report, we need to see if the USDA adjusts exports, because they have not touched exports since December. So 2.1 billion bushels for export, which is great. But the market might be curious to see, is that number going to get stronger or not? So we're going to keep an eye on exports again Thursday this week for weekly export sales. And then in the next week, along with watching the Brazil markets too.
Yeah. Yeah. And what, and watching Brazilian weather, right? The way that that Safrina corn crop is going to be coming along.
Yeah. And so now correct me if I'm wrong, but what I have heard is that they've had some rain recently, but now things are looking to dry out. So the question would be if the recent rains are enough to keep the crop, you know, comfortable and growing and productive right. over the next couple of weeks or not. So we know that in America, if it gets a half inch of rain, suddenly we can have a record crop, sarcasm. So we'll see what, you know, comes from Brazil in the coming weeks.
Right. Right. And it's at that critical time. The crop is, as I understand it, the Safrina corn crop, a chunk of it is pollinating. It's going to be getting into early kernel fill and rain right now. If it happens, Naomi, it's going to be really, really positive for that crop. But if they don't get the rain, then things can turn around here over the next 10 days. It's kind of crunch time for that Safrina corn crop down there, and we need to pay close attention to it. Okay, so export sales report on Thursday, you mentioned that, and I understand what you're looking for there. Before that, we get the ethanol production report tomorrow, and after the stink of a report that we got last week, I would like to see a little improvement there.
Yeah, I would agree with that. So that'll be something that the market watches. And that comes out, you know, mid-morning, tomorrow morning. And that could be some short-term market reaction. If it is a, if it's poor news and if crude oil prices aren't working higher, maybe we see some back and fill action on the corn market, you know, and still maintain the sideways pattern that we've been in essentially since early March. But maybe prices just kind of meander back down about 10-15 cents lower and test support levels. So this has been a little bit of a blessing, though, for those who needed to do price or roll with their May basis contracts. If you were deciding that you were going to be pricing it, you know, you've got May corn futures up near 443. This is essentially the highest it's been since late March, and overall the highest it's been since late January. So an opportunity for those who needed to get some cash sales done.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Matt was just mentioned, you know, just came right out and said, listen, if we get a rally based on some planning delays, it might be an opportunity to get a little more comfortable on 23 crop, 24 crop, and don't forget about 25 crop. Let's stay on 23 crop. How much of a wet blanket are farmer owned supplies of old crop corn, Naomi?
You know, I was just thinking about that today because I know that a lot of producers have been selling recently to generate cash.
Yeah.
But there are definitely some who are saying, well, if I don't have to generate cash, am I better off just waiting until some kind of a June rally or like a late May rally? And so, you know, part of me is like, well, you know, usually we get something and there's some kind of a summer rally at some point. But then my other thought is, you know, that summer rally is going to come and all y'all are going to freeze up and not know what to do and not price it, or you're going to get sidetracked, or the market rallies and it rallies for 2 days and then you miss it and then just don't do anything. So my biggest vocal concern would be for those who are waiting for a different summer rally, please have realistic targets in place. Yeah. Now, with your elevator, for example, if July corn futures can get back up towards the 490 area, which would be getting back towards the high from late December, that would be a place to make sure you're making some sales, because depending on your basis, you might be getting close to $5. And again, with 2 billion bushel carryout, fundamentally, we don't really have a reason to justify why prices need to go above $5 based on everything we know right now. So if you have those cash orders and those cash targets in place, it'll help you stay in control of your marketing, be disciplined about pulling the trigger, and not be emotional later on in June when we're looking at, you know, 100 degree temperatures coming and you're not, you know, thinking that, hey, my crop isn't going to grow. You got to take advantage of those opportunities when they come, because they are so fast and quick. Yeah. And they go away so fast and quick as well.
Yep. be there before the market gets there. That's kind of has been my motto on when we talk about things like this. Get your price orders in place. Make sure that your sales orders are ready to roll so that when you're out planting corn or worrying about planting corn, you don't also have to worry about catching a move in the old crop corn market. We're going to talk a little bit more about new crop corn marketing. And what about some 25 crop? I saw chatter about that today. What does Naomi think about it? We'll discuss next.
Sometimes life is wonderful, and sometimes it's not. Cherish the good, but always be prepared for life's challenges. At Private Healthcare, we provide the peace of mind you deserve. With Private Healthcare, you'll get the coverage you want and healthcare you need. If your employer doesn't supply healthcare coverage and you don't qualify for Medicare or Medicaid, you need to give us a call right now. Private Healthcare is private health insurance for ages 65 and under with medical, dental, vision, and even prescription coverage. When life comes at you unexpectedly, you need to be ready. And health insurance is your financial safety net. Health insurance has never been so easy and affordable. If you're looking for health coverage at the best price and your annual household income is $35,000 or more,
give us a call at 800-801-2730. That's 800-801-2730.
Let's go to the markets page at ProFarmer.com and check today's closes. For July, HRW wheat futures were 11 and 3/4 cents higher at 614 and 1/4. July SRW wheat up 15 and 1/4 to 602 and 3/4. May corn futures were 3 1/4 cents higher at 443. December corn futures closed at 474 and 3/4. That's up 2 1/4 cents on the day. May soybean futures 6 1/2 cents higher today, 1167 1/2. November beans closed at 1174. That's up 2 1/4 cents today. July cotton 70 points lower, 8172. On your livestock, June fat cattle ended 90 cents lower at 177.15. May feeder futures 87 and one half higher at 246.05. June lean hog futures $2.45 higher at 107.95. Get more market news every market day. Visit tryprofarmer.com.
Whether you have a large animal or a small one, the Animal Wellness Center of Buffalo Valley can keep them healthy. With top-notch veterinary care, plus boarding and grooming services, the Animal Wellness Center keeps your pet happy. And they specialize in chiropractic care to keep your large animals moving. Make an appointment by calling 715-926-3836. The patients come first at the Animal Wellness Center of Buffalo Valley, located in the Mondovi Industrial Park, your complete traditional and holistic veterinary care clinic.
Farming is one of the most demanding professions in the world, and not just physically. Financial challenges, weather, markets, isolation, you take on a lot. But what about taking care of you? The Wisconsin Farm Center at DATCP or DATCAP is here to help. They have resources to help you with whatever the next step may be. It's free and confidential. Self-care isn't selfish. It's time to take care of you with the support of the Wisconsin Farm Center.
The Wisconsin Corn Growers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit WICorn.org and become a member today.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Partly sunny skies turn cloudy as showers and thunderstorms strike. Highs today hit the low 60s, and overnight tonight we crash below freezing, so expect a frost. This means we have a sunny and cooler day tomorrow. One call to Tax Solutions now will solve all of your IRS problems. 1-800-281-8193. Currently, it's 57.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. In the morning, you're coffeeed up and you're thinking. In the afternoon, you've calmed down, but you're still thinking. We're here all day. AgriTalk.
I love it. Love it, love it, love it. what one of the business networks, Fox, has been doing stories about coffee and the cost of coffee all day. Okay. And all the different things that you're, you know, willing to pay for. And a couple of them have come back to the idea that it's just caffeine. That, you know, that's the reason that people are willing to pay $5-6 a cup two, three times a day is so that they can get their caffeine fix. You can get your caffeine fix off a really crappy cup of coffee.
You know what? I got a Summit Cola Diet in front of me. This is what it's called. That's what I'm drinking it for.
There you go.
Just keep me perky through the show, you know?
Yeah. You know, a buck or maybe a buck and a quarter will get you the caffeine that you need. The people that are spending $5-6 on a cup of coffee, and I know that I'm probably way under market for a lot of people out there when it comes to what they're spending on coffee. But, you know, it comes down to a question of just exactly what they want. What is it that they want? And what do some of them think that they need in order to get that shot of caffeine?
And what are they willing to pay for?
What do people want?
What are they willing to pay for? That's what they want.
Yep. I think we had that conversation this morning a couple of times. Yes, we did. Let's get back to the conversation with Naomi Bloom from Total Farm Marketing by Stuart Peterson. Naomi, we talked about 23 crop getting caught up on corn there. 24 crop, it's got to be mostly the same kind of story, right? Make sure that you've got your orders in place.
Yes, absolutely. My targets on the Dease 24 corn crop, right up near the $5 area. I'd go $4.99, but I am mindful of that gap that's at $5.03. The top of the downtrend line comes in right near that $4.95 area, and the 200-day moving average is at $4.97. So in general, $5 is going to be significant resistance for the December 24 corn to get through. For prices to go above that, it would take a weather disaster in this country during the summer.
Right. Okay. And 25 crop, it's flirting around the $5 area already out there in the Dease 25. Is it too early to be looking at 25 crop?
Not too early. I am a fan of getting sales in place on a rally. So again, actually similar near that $5 area, the Dease 25 chart has a gap. The gap is filled if we get to 504. I'm quite mindful looking back at history when we came off of our two-year rally in 2012. The market, you know, edged lower for a couple of years after that and then went into that sideways trading pattern. And the charts are pretty identical. So my fear, my concern would be, you know, that we start to go into a pit of despair for prices over the next 5 years. So if we can get some $5 sales on the 24 and on the 25 crop, I think that will merit quite well for people's revenue going forward.
Okay. All right. Very good. Let's talk about soybeans. And for the past couple of years, we've been talking about the domestication of the bean market, where there's going to be a bigger focus on soybean crush than there is on soybean exports. It seems to be developing, and I'm not too sure if the market and the money that plays in the market likes that. What are your thoughts?
What do you mean likes that? Tell me more.
They look at the export numbers, and they're disappointed by it, and it's a bigger disappointment than what a positive crush number is, even though it's the biggest all-time crush number we've ever seen for any month ever.
Yeah. So the muted exports are stealing the thunder from the positive crush. You're totally right. And just the fact that Brazil crop is big, but you know, there still is that discrepancy. What is the Brazil crop? What isn't it? Just because CONAB, the Brazilian essentially equivalent of a USDA, is so different than the USDA. But at the end of the day, you know, Brazil still has the ability to produce more. And right now they are China's favored child. So China continues to do most of their business with them. But the thing with China, they need to buy from the United States because they need to secure beans from both hemispheres. So we do have that going for us. But it's just, you know, we're lacking fresh bullish news. I'm wondering if the USDA, once they start printing the 24-25 crop year on reports, if they'll even show potentially stronger crush demand, that would really be helpful for the marketplace, but we need some news. So looking at November prices, what I'm targeting there for folks who wanted to get cash sales in place with their grain elevator, okay, there's a little gap on the chart that's filled if we can get up to 1244 half on the November. And then the top of the downtrend line from the two-year downtrend line kind of comes in near the 1275 area. So between that 1245 to 1275 area, I would be more of an aggressive seller. Again, unless there's some kind of a weather issue in the United States this summer, we might have a little bit more of a cautious tone in the short term until we get a better handle on where our crush demand is going to be going forward.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Okay. Anything else that we need to hit on beans, or can we jump over to wheat? Because it's trying to be a leader. I want to get there.
Yeah, we can jump to wheat. Okay. Wheat is just a rock star, huh?
Boy, yeah, that's
the market. Well, you know, and it's one of those things. Is it getting ready to jump off the stage and then just like do, you know, a soft landing into the crowd? Or is it going to just belly flop onto the floor? That's the question. That's the question. So wheat got up to the 100-day moving average today on daily charts, and that was really encouraging. But anytime I get excited about wheat, I'm just sucker punched and prices fall back lower. So, you know, it's been exciting and it's been optimistic, but I'm not sure if I totally buy it yet. But, you know, I did talk to a client in Kansas yesterday, and this echoes on what you said earlier in the show. And he's in that super, super dry part of Kansas. And he said folks are already starting to turn in insurance claims because it's just so dry and so bad. So that the market has, I think, become aware of that. And that is why we've seen that Kansas wheat market have a significant rally over the past couple of sessions, along with our Chicago wheat market. But I'm feeling like something negative will happen and my hopes will be dashed and wheat will be down 30 cents by the end of the week or something, but we'll see. Maybe we finally got some legs under us.
Yeah. Yeah. We've got the tour coming up here before too long. And every time I think about the HRW crop and the Wheat Quality Council annual tour through HRW area, the scouts can go out there and can confirm what the market has been fearing, okay, when it comes to the condition of the crop. And for some reason, the market just doesn't show a whole lot of reaction to crop problems here in the U.S. right now, Naomi. I mean, is a crop problem enough, or do we need to get some demand with it?
Well, it's got to be a crop problem here, some new demand, and something bad has to happen somewhere else in the world.
Yeah.
The world has just gotten used to that notion that wheat is available year-round from little nooks and crannies all over the world. So unless two or three countries start to have a development production issue, wheat may struggle to rally. And the funds just still seem to can be content to kind of hold on to those short positions. Last week, we saw that cumulative managed money short positions across all three wheat classes was just over 170,000 contracts, which was the largest since late December. So it's like the funds had been exiting shorts, and then they decided to push the sell button and make things go back down. But now the question will be, over the past couple days here, are they actually exiting shorts for real, or is this going to be a sucker punch and we end up back lower by the end of the week?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Good questions and things that we need to get figured out here. But, boy, it's showing some leadership right now, and it's leading in the right direction. So I think everybody's going to be happy with that. Real quick, let's jump over to the other markets and get your thoughts on cattle. Friday's cattle on feed report turned out to be a little bit more positive than maybe the initial reaction.
Yeah, that was good numbers in terms of, well, lower placements. So that was good for the market. So we're back to being aware that we are low on production overall in this country. The bird flu fear seems to be behind us for now. So that's good news. Now I think that the attention will shift to consumer demand. So I feel like lower cuts of beef are going to still be super popular. I think that you can't, you know, substitute hamburger by any means. But my curiosity going forward would be, Are we going to see strong export sales this week on Thursday? Are we going to see strong demand for higher cuts of meat this summer for grilling season? That's where my curiosity truly lies. But overall, it feels like we've put in a short-term low after that sell-off we've had. But I'll be curious to see if we can see that market get back up to the early March highs or not. We need some real fresh demand news to get that to happen. But I do know, like, for feeder cattle cash market continues to be on fire. Down in Missouri, demand is strong down there at that Joplin Stockyard. Things are good. And I liked how live cattle filled the gap today, a little back and fill action. So maybe we can just build some more demand base here and price base and probably see prices go sideways to a little higher in the short term. But again, we're watching demand news for price direction.
Gotcha. I'm going to give you about 20 seconds on this. What are you thinking in milk?
Well, it was nice. We had a production report that showed milk production down 1%. So that is supportive for dairy prices. And we saw spot cheese values jump this week. So things are looking up for the dairy complex. Excellent.
Thank you, Naomi. Appreciate you. You be safe and we'll talk to you again soon.
All right. Thanks, Chip.
You bet. Naomi Bloom, Total Farm Marketing by Stuart Peterson. Davis, we'll be right back to wrap up today's AgriTalk. You can do it all by yourself, baby girl. What's your
name? Let me talk to you. Let me buy you a drink. Spilled your drink? Quick, the quicker picker-upper. Bounty picks up spills quicker. And each sheet is 2 times more absorbent, so you can use less than the leading ordinary brand. So you can get back to your night. Bounty, the quicker picker-upper.
Your gas light's on. We need to fill up.
Gas around here is too expensive.
Don't drive all over searching for the lowest prices. Just download the free Upside app and get cash back for every gallon of gas you buy. I've already made around $200.
You can make that kind of cash back just for buying gas? I'm stopping now to download Upside and fill up my tank. Download the free Upside app to earn real cash back every time you buy gas. Cash out anytime to your bank account, PayPal, or e-gift card. Download the free Upside app now and use promo code RADIO for an extra 25 cents per gallon cash back on your first fill up. That's promo code RADIO.
I'm still going for it, even with higher stroke risk from atrial fibrillation and a regular heartbeat not caused by a heart valve problem. Over a 3-year study, Eliquis apixaban tablets reduced stroke risk better than warfarin, and over 97% of Eliquis patients did not experience a stroke. A first stroke occurred in 2.9% of warfarin patients versus 2.3% of Eliquis patients.
Don't stop taking prescription Eliquis without asking your doctor. It may increase your stroke risk. Eliquis can cause serious and in rare cases fatal bleeding. Don't take Eliquis if you have an artificial heart valve, abnormal bleeding, or antiphospholipid syndrome. While taking, you may bruise more easily or take longer for bleeding to stop. A spinal injection while on Eliquis increases risk of blood clots, which may cause paralysis, the inability to move. Get medical help right away for unexpected bleeding, unusual bruising, or tingling, numbness, or muscle weakness. Medications such as aspirin products, NSAIDs, SSRIs, SNRIs, and blood thinners may increase bleeding risk. Tell your doctor about all planned medical or dental procedures. Learn more at Eliquis.com or call 1-855-ELIQUIS.
TJ Wilson, Director of Finance Sales at FBN, is here to talk about why farmers are choosing to finance their land with FBN Finance. TJ, as farmers consider where to get their land financing, why should they consider FBN Finance?
Yeah, at FBN Finance, we're dedicated to family farmers. We've created an experience to provide farmers all the essential information they need during their land financing journey. We offer our free land evaluation tool, AcreVision, to access land insights and metrics, land loan calculator to view estimated rates and fees when you are ready to get pre-qualified, or you can use your online application to take advantage of instant approvals on qualified applications.
Okay, you just mentioned pre-qualification, instant approvals. Can you explain those and how they might benefit farmers?
Yeah, if you're starting your process, we offer pre-qualifications so you know your loan possibilities from the start. You can go into negotiations with more confidence and speed up the timeline when you are ready. We created an online application that will save you time and you can track your application's progress. Every minute counts, which is why we offer instant approvals where your land loan application could potentially be approved within minutes for land loans up to $2.5 million.
Wow, okay. Are there any other benefits that we have not mentioned?
Yeah, everything we do here at FBN Finance is to empower farmers. With over $1.5 billion in funds committed across over 2,400 farmers and counting, we make it easy and affordable for you to finance your operation with land purchases, refinances, and improvements. In addition to our real estate offerings, ask us about how new customers can get 0% on an operating loan. And right now, we are offering AgriTalk listeners $500 off your closing costs for land loans over $250,000. All you need to do is fill out our form on fbn.com/agritalk or call us directly at 833-FBN-LEND, that's L-E-N-D, to speak with a loan advisor and mention AgriTalk.
Excellent. Thank you, TJ. That is TJ Wilson, Director of Finance Sales at FBN.
The Scoop Podcast is where we talk about tight supply chains, emerging agronomic challenges, technology tools delivering ROI. I'm Margie Eckelkamp, editor of The Scoop and host of The Scoop Podcast. Join me as I interview leaders from across the ag retail sector. Farmers are working hard for every bushel, and their trusted advisors are by their side. Find The Scoop Podcast wherever you find podcasts so you are up to date on everything ag retail.
Agriculture drives this country.
Congress recently invested $20 billion in conservation practices.
These programs help small farmers better their practice at a cost that they can afford.
They've helped me to not only take care of my family, but to take care of the land.
Today, these funds are at risk. Congress, protect conservation funding in the Farm Bill and keep agriculture viable for future generations. Learn more at investinourland.org. Paid for by Invest in Our Land.
You're listening to AgriTalk, where the conversation begins. Join us at 855-4-TALK-AG.
And welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. Your pal, Davis Michelson here. Chip has stepped away. He's got a thing. I'm kind of giving him the jump here. I'm taking over for him. But it comes at a convenient time. There's some stuff I want to talk to y'all about. Something interesting that I've noticed here in the fertilizers and fuels. Let's get to that in just a moment. First, a great conversation with Naomi Bloom, Total Farm Marketing by Stuart Peterson. She's always so good. Just one thing that I wanted to point out there. It's not crazy talk to start talking about the 25 crop. In fact, when we're talking about the 24 crop, we're looking at gaps, apparently just above $5 in both the 24 and the 25 December corn contracts. I'm talking out of school here. I'm just going by what she said. I don't have it in front of me, but that sounds right. I'm just going to say it again. If Chip were here, it may come up in our conversation at some point. Be there before the market gets there. Have realistic price targets in place and get yourself some sleep at night. Huh? And maybe start thinking about that 25 December corn contract. What do we got going out there? Have a look. Let's get our thoughts together on that. On another note here, coffee futures. Chip and I were talking about the cost of coffee at certain upscale coffee dispensaries. And yeah, it's a little expensive. Can confirm. It's nice for a little treat every once in a while. But I do like my generic diet colas for about 42 cents a can. To me, that makes a little bit more economic sense, but that's a choice that I'm making. Some people, hey, you know, what is affordable? Whatever you want to spend your money on, I guess. If you can make that work, you know, I may have to cut back on something. I don't know what it would be in order to get more Starbucks. I hadn't thought about that. Anyway, coffee down. The July contract, 580 to 221.85. on the day, might not do much for the retail values, but just our conversation apparently had some impact on the coffee market at large under some pretty decent pressure. I would call it moderate pressure on the coffee coming into this afternoon. Okay. The reason I'm so glad to be here with you all, I found something. Now, every 2 weeks, USDA puts out fertilizer prices. It's like, they give it an average and a range for Illinois, and they do the same report again in Iowa. Something interesting has changed. It used to be, okay, so it's like they've got different categories here, different columns. The price range, $725 to $835. The average price, $767, $86. And then there's a column there that says change. And it used to say, oh, okay, well, anhydrous is up $10.52. On the week or whatever the change might be over that 2 week period since their previous report. They're not putting the changes in anymore. It's a blank column. They've updated the numbers as far as prices go. But guess what? I figured out a way to figure out those changes. Yeah. It's not rocket science, but it's close. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to read down these prices so you have kind of some reference, and then we're going to talk averages and degrees of change because there is some news in the fertilizer. So I'm in Iowa. USDA in its most recent report as of April 19, so just last week, a few days ago, anhydrous ammonia in Iowa, $767.86 per short ton. DAP diammonium phosphate, $785. We're going to talk about that being a little bit overpriced, actually quite a bit overpriced in a minute here. Liquid nitrogen, 32%. That's UAN, $394.17. Your MAP monoammonium phosphate, $861.80 for a ton of that in Iowa. Red potash, $562.29 per ton. Urea, $580 even per short ton in the state of Iowa as of USDA's most recent report. Number two, farm diesel, Ruby Red, averages $3.22 in Iowa. Propane, man, this is crazy too on the propane. We're unchanged for like 2 months at $1.61. I don't know what's going on with the propanes there. If we hop over to Illinois, anhydrous ammonia in its most recent report found to be $795.88. Here we go with DAP, $761.22 in Illinois, 28% UAN, $384.50. UAN 32% at 345. Those are flipped. I think we'll probably see 32% firm to fix that. Anyway, MAP 792.17. Potash 521.75. And your urea rounds out the fertilizer space at 539.60. Number two, farm diesel in Illinois, $3.46 per gallon on average. And they're also putting biodiesel in here, which is interesting. I don't know what that is. $3.28 a gallon on the biodiesel from the farm. But guess what? I went ahead and took those numbers and made an average out of them. So we can see by degree how much these fertilizer prices have moved over the last 2 weeks. I've got anhydrous ammonia now at a Midwest average of $781.85. That's up $20.55 over 2 weeks. DAP up 92 cents over the period. MAP up $17.06 since USDA's most previous report. Here I've got potash up $5.52. UAN 28% was unchanged on the week, 32% actually down, $27.09 per short ton since USDA's most recent report, and it kind of threw the UAN price ratios out of whack just a little bit. Urea up $1.66, up $1.66 to call it $560 in the Midwest. Ruby Red averages $334, and there's LP at $1.61. I don't know why they wouldn't put in the price changes. Maybe it was an oversight. Maybe there's an email that I missed. I don't read the emails. I don't know. I would probably have a much better grasp of what's going on. Here's an email that I did read from Josh Linville. And Josh, don't worry. I'm not going to give away StoneX's secrets. But India has cut their purchase tonnage in half. That's urea. Also on the urea front, Chinese exports of urea are returning, as are Chinese exports of phosphate, which is great because phosphate needs a little bit of a supply overhang to push those prices down. We're still watching the Israel-Iran conflict and, of course, the Russia-Ukraine conflict. But for North America, Josh Linville of StoneX says urea markets are looking good. I like the sound of that. Okay, let's go to the National Weather Service 6 to 10 day outlook. This valid through April 29 to May 3rd. Is that right? Yep, updated the 23rd. It's going to be hot in the southeast. Above average temperatures expected basically from eastern Idaho over to Florida. Through the gut slot, the midpoint of the Corn Belt, we've got above precipitation expected. Now, looking out just a little bit further to the 8 to 14 day, similar type of deal. Those warmer temperatures move further westward, so more over right over Kansas City, actually. And then the 8 to 14 day precipitation outlook, it's a mixed bag, dry east, wet west, and wet-ish down the middle. I'm your pal, Davis Michelson. Thanks so much for tuning in to AgriTalk today. We appreciate each and every one of y'all. We'll be back tomorrow morning with Chip Flory. We got big stuff planned. AgriTalk.
Ahead of planting season, the Be Sure campaign, organized by the Growing Matters Coalition, is back again to protect pollinator habitats and safeguard biodiversity across America's farmland. Since 2019, the Be Sure campaign has helped educate millions of growers and applicators on best management practices and responsible stewardship when applying neonicotinoid products. For guidance, tips, and resources, visit growingmatters.org/besure.
Scammers often try to dupe veterans to steal the VA benefits they've earned. Scammers may try to obtain sensitive information or collect payments over the phone, offer to move assets in order to qualify for pension, insist benefits may be sent directly to a friend or caregiver, or promise to manage benefits or file a claim for you. VA will never charge you for processing a claim, and only VA can determine eligibility. To report suspicious activity, visit va.gov/OIG/.
You're going to feel a puff of air.
Zhong's optometry has set their sights on staffing up.
Try the next line. Hey, Kim, can you tell our 2 o'clock we're running 15 behind? Sorry, we're a bit backed up today.
He needs an optometric technician to keep an eye on it all.
Where are the dilation drops?
Indeed can help him hire great people fast.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. You can schedule and conduct virtual interviews all from your employer dashboard. Visit Indeed.com/credit.